This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called The Miracle of Mercy. In this series, Pastor Rick looks into the Bible and shows us how God uses the miracle of mercy to transform our lives. Just before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. So please go to PastorRick.com right now and give a gift to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus with people everywhere. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called God Can Use Anybody.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says this: "It is God himself who has made us. He made us what we are, and he's given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago," this is before you were born, "long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in watching television." No, we should spend these lives in what? Helping others. That's your work to do. That's your ministry. When you go, "I'm gonna use the talent, the ability, the background I've got to help somebody else," that's what God planned for you to do. And when you look at what you're good at, that's what you're supposed to do. All right, so that's the starting point. Never forget it's all because of God's mercy. Here's the second key to being used by God: be real. You must be real. Write this down. You gotta be authentic, you've gotta be genuine, you have to be yourself. You can't be somebody you're not. God did not create you to be somebody else. So many of us start off, all of us start off as originals, and we end up as being carbon copies. And we start trying to be like other people. God wants to use you as you. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven one day, God isn't gonna say, "Hey, why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like your sister or your mom or your brother or your dad?" God's not gonna compare you to anybody else. He made you to be you. And if you don't be you, who's gonna be you? A lot of people think, in order for God to use me, I've gotta be somebody different than I am. No, you're dead wrong. You don't have to be somebody different. In fact, God made you to be you, and that's all he wants you to be. And so you've gotta be real. You can't wear a mask. God does not use fakes. God does not use phonies. God does not use posers. God does not use pretenders. God does not use people who wear a mask and act one way over here and another way over here. He just wants you to be real. He wants you to be authentic. He wants you to be yourself. God made you to be you. Now, this is a problem because so many people are trying to be somebody they're not. And they're trying to be somebody they're not either because they think somebody else wants them to be that way and they're living for the approval of others, or they actually think God wants them to be that way. And they think, "Well, you know, God would really love me more if I would act like this." No, God's love is not based on how you act. That's mercy. He loves you no matter what you do, good or bad. So his love isn't based on that. But a lot of people are living for the expectations of other people. They're living for the approval of other people. And you've just got to be real. Now, if you try to be somebody that you're not, thinking that's going to please God, or your boyfriend, or anybody else for that matter, three things are gonna happen in your life. First, you're always gonna be under stress if you try to be somebody you're not. You're always gonna be under stress the rest of your life. Second, you're gonna have the fear of being exposed. What if people find out what I'm really like? And then third, you're gonna end up manipulating people because you're afraid of being who God really made you to be. Now, this is in verse 2. We're going through this chapter together. And the second key, Paul says, in order to be used by God is you've got to be real. You got to be yourself. Verse 2, he says this: "We don't try to trick anyone." In other words, we're not manipulators. We're not phonies or fakes. We're not trying to manipulate others. "We don't try to trick anyone, and we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. Circle the word really, who we really are. God wants you to show people who you really are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. He's saying, you gotta be real. Paul goes, I've got nothing to hide. I'm completely transparent. What you see is what you get. Now, let me say it again. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you in a great way, but you do have to be authentic. You have to be authentic, and you gotta be real, and you just what you see is what you get. You know, you're looking at a very flawed man. Very flawed. If you don't believe it, ask my staff, ask my family, ask my neighbors, ask me. If you've been around here any length of time, you probably know my weaknesses because I talk about them all the time because I want you to know that I know what they are. I'm more aware of my weaknesses than anybody else. And so I talk about them because I just want you to know that God uses weak people. I actually think imperfections in a pastor are a good thing. Because then you go, well, good night. If God uses that guy, maybe he could use me. If God uses somebody who's got as many problems and messes up and does it, then maybe God could use me too. You see, people don't actually grow from your strengths. They grow from your weaknesses. If you go out and only try to show your strengths to the world and you go, here's all my strengths. Well, people go, well, goody for you. And when you share your strengths, it doesn't make other people feel close to you. It makes them jealous, mad, envious, or angry, or whatever, and go, who do you think you are? On the other hand, when you get up and you talk about, here's where I blew it, here's where I made a mistake, this is my weakness, here's the real deal, then that actually causes people to draw closer to you, and it makes intimacy much better in a relationship when you reveal your weaknesses, not your strengths. A lot of people are in marriages that are terrible because people are trying to hide their weaknesses even from their spouse. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you gotta be real. Now, let me give you the upside of this. Now, this is a little secret that I've learned because I stopped trying to fake it, I don't know, decades ago. And, you know, you just, what you see is what you get. And if you don't like that, well, sorry. But when you live authentically, when you live real, when you're not trying to fake it, it gets better every year. Your life gets better every year when you're real, when you're honest, when you're the real deal. When you fake it, when you wear a mask, when you pretend, it gets worse every year. You get more stressed out. And the more you hide, and the more you pretend, and the more you wear a mask, and the more you're not in touch with who you really are, the worse it actually gets. Now, do you know the number one barrier that keeps you from being used by God, to feeling his power and his presence in your life and God using? The number one reason is your fear of being real. It's the fear of being real. Because you think, you know, if I really be who I am, what if people don't like me? Why am I afraid to tell you who I am? Because if I tell you who I really am, you may not like me and I'm all I've got and I'm up a creek without a paddle. And that's no good. And so we live behind walls and we fake it till we make it and we wear these masks and we live with lives of insecurity. Now, the antidote to your insecurity, all those secret fears and all those things that where you don't want to show people who you really are, the antidote is to get God's spirit of mercy in you. And when you get God's spirit of mercy in you and you realize God loves me unconditionally, God is never going to stop loving me. God's mercy is going to be with me no matter whether I do it right or do it wrong, how many mistakes I make. He's not going to get tired of forgiving me. When you realize that God truly loves you unconditionally, then you realize you're a child of God. And that liberates you to be who God made you to be. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says it like this. The spirit we receive, this is the spirit of God, the spirit of mercy. The spirit of mercy that we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. It makes us children of God. Now that verse says that there's two ways you can live in life. You can live either under the bondage of a spirit of fear, or you can live free as a child of God under the mercy of God. And you can make the decision. You can say, I'm going to be stuck, and I'm gonna be enslaved by fear, and I'm not gonna let people see what I really like, or I'm going to live as a child of God because of his mercy, and I know he's going to love me no matter what. And when you understand you're a child of God, you realize it's all by God's mercy. You don't have to fake it. You can be real. Now, here's the third key, the third secret of being used by God the rest of your life, no matter what's happened in your past. Here it is. Number three, remember it's not about me.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Did you know the number one attribute of God in Scripture is his mercy? It is, and he wants us to be merciful too. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Matthew 5:7. Now you can dive deeper into our current study with Pastor Rick's Miracle of Mercy Study Kit. Through his six-session DVD and workbook study, he'll show you the five marks of mercy. You'll discover how mercy forgives the fallen, helps the hurting, is patient with difficult people, is kind to enemies, and cares for the lost. You'll experience the miracle of mercy as you become more merciful in every area of your life. The Miracle of Mercy six-session video study kit is perfect for both personal and small group study time. And it's yours when you give a gift to help Daily Hope share the certain hope of Jesus with people everywhere. Now, if you're giving a first-time gift to Daily Hope today, your gift will be matched to up to $10,000 by a generous friend of the broadcast. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Now, here's the third key, the third secret of being used by God the rest of your life, no matter what's happened in your past. Here it is. Number three, remember it's not about me. Remember it's not about me. Now, every time you forget that, you're going to either get bitter from problems or you're going to get prideful from blessings in your life. And when you forget that it's not about you, you take everything personally. In verse 5, Paul gives us this third key. He says this, "Our message is not about ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ as the Lord. We are merely your servants for Jesus' sake." He uses this phrase, "for Jesus' sake," twice in this chapter. He says, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Does anybody remember the first sentence of the purpose-driven life? It's not about you. It's not about you. That is the most counter-culture statement you could possibly make in today's society. It's not about you. It's the exact opposite of everything you're taught. Because everything else in our society says it's all about you. Every advertisement appeals to your self-centeredness. It appeals to your narcissism. Every single message you get every day goes, it's all about you. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve the break today. Today you get the best. You're number one. It's all about you. You need to think of what's best for me. I need to think of what's best for me. And on and on and on. Every 1,000 times a day, our society says, it's all about you. It's very hard to live an unselfish life in today's culture because our entire culture and our entire economy is built on the fact that everybody says, no, it's all about you. It's not. You are not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And when you live a self-centered life, as I said, you become frustrated, you become unfulfilled, and eventually you become bored. You know, when I wrote that sentence in Purpose-Driven Life, the first sentence of the book, it's not about you. Honestly, I had no idea that I was going to be tested on that sentence every day for the rest of my life. I sometimes 30, 40 times a day, I have to say that sentence to myself. It's not about you. And when I get a great opportunity to do something, I go, it's not about you. And when I face a big, big problem, I go, it's not about you. And when I'm criticized, fairly or unfairly, I go, it's not about you. And when I'm praised and somebody says something nice, I go, it's not about you. And when somebody gets angry, I go, it's not about you. And when somebody's upset because their need's not being met, it's not about you. I sometimes have to say that 20, 30, 40 times a day to myself. It's not about me. In fact, sometimes I wish I hadn't written that sentence because I didn't want to be tested on it every day for the rest of my life. But God's going to say, okay, Rick, you wrote it. You're going to live it. Are you going to live it? It's not about you. It's all about God. Now, learning to follow Christ and learning to let Jesus Christ use you in an amazing way is all about motivation. God is far more interested in why you do what you do than what you actually do. There might be 100 things you could do with your life that God would say, fine, that's great. I made you. I shaped you. Any one of those would be fine with me. There might be 100 different things God would say, that would be fine for you to do with your life. What he is interested in is why you do it. God is not interested in your methodology as much as he is interested in your motivation. You can have the right methodology and you do everything right and you're very successful in life, but if you've got the wrong motive, it doesn't count with God. On the other hand, you could really mess up and you do it all wrong and you have so many failures and you have so many mistakes, but you got the right motive. God goes, that's good enough. Why is always more important than what? And when you figure out why you do what you do in life, God will show you how. It's always about motivation. And you got to remember, it's not about me. So I have to continually ask, why am I doing this? I see this happening all the time in people who become believers, that become followers of Christ, and then they want to get involved in like a ministry of Saddleback Church. We have every week over 25,000 people volunteer their time for free in one of 550 ministries in the community. We don't do ministry in the church. We do it out in the community, helping other people. And over 25,000 people every week volunteer their time in this church. And I noticed that when they first start serving as a brand new believer, you're doing it with the right motivation. You're out of gratitude to God. Nobody's telling you to do this. You're not fearful. You're not pressured. It's just, I want to give back. God has saved me. I want to do something with my life. I want my life to count. And I just, in gratitude, I want to serve God. But I see slowly over time, sometimes people who are doing a particular work or service or ministry, all of a sudden, the motivation starts changing, and all of a sudden, I do it for the wrong reasons. I like the approval I get. I like the applause I get. It makes me feel important. And all of a sudden, I'm doing it for me. And a lot of times, what happens is people who start off as servants end up as celebrities. I see this happen in pastors all the time. You know I coach pastors. Success is actually not really good for pastors because it can mess with your mind, particularly if you have a lot of success early in your life, in your ministry, in your church. And I see guys who started off genuinely loving God in serving Christ in their church, and they turn from servants into celebrities. And they're not realizing it's not about them. It's not about them. They're doing it for Jesus' sake. Now, Paul is crystal clear. Twice in this passage, he says, I do what I do for Jesus. I do it for Jesus' sake, not for me. And he says, we're just servants for Jesus' sake. Now, down in verse 7, he continues this. And he says, you know, we're just like clay jars. We're just like jars of clay in which this treasure is stored. God puts his power, God puts his love, God puts his mercy inside you. You're just a jar of clay. He puts his treasure in you. He says the real power comes from God and not from us. So he says, you know, our frail bodies are like clay jars. Some of us have big jars, okay? What happens if you drop a clay pot? It breaks, and we're all crackpots, We're all crackpots. We're all broken. We're all flawed. Nobody is flawless. Nobody's blameless. And we're all a little cracked. And that's okay, because when it is through the cracks that the light can shine out and the glory of God shines out. See, a lot of people think that God wants to use your strengths. Well, he does, but he actually uses your weaknesses even more than your strengths. Because as I just said, when you go out and say, hey, let me tell you what I'm good at. I could tell you all the things I'm good at, all the awards I've won, all the opportunities I've had. And you go, well, goody for you. That doesn't make us feel close. And when people, you share your strength, people, they resent you, they're jealous of you, they're envious of you, and they blow you off, go, that guy's full of pride, she's full of pride, whatever. On the other hand, when you share your weaknesses and you share the problems you're going through and you share how God shines through your weakness, people go, wow, it draws them close. It pulls them in intimacy. This is why a lot of marriages aren't close. They don't share their weaknesses with you. Hasn't ever got to that stage. God has always used flawed instruments.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. We pray that God uses this teaching from Pastor Rick to help you discover more deeply the hope that our relationship with Jesus Christ provides in every area of your life. Right now, a generous friend of the broadcast is offering a $10,000 matching grant for listeners giving a gift to Daily Hope for the very first time. Now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe, and listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed, and many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for those of you who have consistently given throughout this past year. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your very first gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person has combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Your first gift will be double to go twice as far. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
If you've never given a gift to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we would love for you to make your first donation today. And when you do this, your gift will be matched up to $10,000 by the matching grant. And we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick's Miracle of Mercy DVD study kit. Just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks for partnering with Daily Hope to take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.